Hymn 63, verses 1 through 3. Brother Rafal will come up and offer the Lord's prayer and blessing upon Brother John.
Our Heavenly Father, who are in heaven, once again we are approaching your holy throne through our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are asking you for your presence, especially this time between us. We are asking you to help us understand your holy words, and we are asking you for also for forgiving our sins. Please be with us this hour, and we are asking you also for a blessings to all brethren who are alone and sick and they are not able to gather together. We are asking those things, and we are asking for a blessing upon Brother John, so we will understand your words. All these things we are asking in our dear Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Lawrence and Brother Rafael. And it just seems like a few minutes ago we were giving part one of God's plan, a stone witness. It's been 48 hours, and the blessings have been great at this convention. We would really like to thank the Seattle class for their efforts on our behalf, for the brethren staying in their homes, Kirkham's, and it's just been a real spiritual feast here to start off the convention season in the Pacific Northwest. I bring the love of Sister Pam, and like I say, we've really enjoyed the fellowship and the discourse, spiritual lessons that we've had. We bring the love of the Langley class, Brother Albert, Sister Norma Swab, Sister Ruth Chambers from Vancouver sent her love as well, and Brett and Tamara, our kids and grandkids from Chicago. So we looked at part one here on Friday, and we're going to move on now and look at some other things about the Great Pyramid. And we used these two scriptures, Isaiah 19, 19 to 20, and Jeremiah 22 to 20. And just beautiful scriptures by the Lord, which have set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day. Some of the pictures that we've had, we thank Brother Brian Kucher for some of the pictures on his website, Brother Todd Alexander, Brother Bill Gill, and also Sister Alice Schneider has a website called God's Plan Today, and we've got some really nice material from that as well. And also we thank Brother Harry Wildblood for a slide or two that is animated here on the passageways. So here we have the ascending passage, the Grand Gallery, and the King's Chamber. And we went over this last time, Brother Russell devoted a whole chapter in the third volume. Originally it was printed in the first volume, and then he moved it later on and expanded on it and put it as one of the last chapters in the third volume. But just this first sentence, "The Great Pyramid proves to be a storehouse of important truth, scientific, mathematical, historic, and prophetic, and its testimony is found to be in perfect accord with the Bible." And so we looked at the scientific and the mathematical features on Friday, part one, and today we're going to look more at the historic and prophetic features of the Great Pyramid. So, on our overview, we discussed what these terms meant. Pillar in the Isaiah 19:19-20, it will be a pillar at the border, and it'll be an altar of the Lord in the midst of the land. We went over where it's situated in the earth and in Egypt. Shall be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts. Pillar, Hebrew, is memorial stone. Sign is a signal, and witness is a testimony. And so we went through the size, shape, structure, description, and workmanship. And then we looked at some of the various scientific features. And we only covered maybe 10, 20 scientific features. There are hundreds of scientific features in the Great Pyramid. And to think that these were embedded in the pyramid over 4,100 years ago, and they only came to light, basically, at the time of the end. Daniel's prophecy in Daniel 12, where basically he said that, these things would be revealed, knowledge would be increased, and all of a sudden there was a flood of knowledge coming out of the Great Pyramid as far as scientific features were concerned. In geography, astronomy, mathematics, trig, and geometrical features. So today we're going to look at part two, the Great Pyramid passages. And the Great Pyramid's one of the few pyramids that has passages inside it and that go throughout the whole pyramid. And we've come to find out that this represents God's divine plan. It's interesting to note, too, on the chart of the ages, there are a lot of pyramids on that chart. And complete little pyramids, cornerstones, headstones, partial pyramids, approximately around 15 on the chart of the ages. We're also going to look at the measurements and specifically how they relate to Bible chronology. So here we have a beautiful shot of the chart of the ages, and the Great Pyramid passages have been superimposed on top, and it's just beautiful how it fits. We have the three dispensations, the world that was, or the world before the flood, present evil world, and the world to come. And all three of these are given to us, of course, in 2 Peter 3. And it's just interesting to note the world before the flood, Adam, the fall of Adam, and the measurements are to the exact year. That's what I find so astounding when you start to look at the actual measurements within the pyramid and how they correspond to Bible chronology as given by Brother Russell in Volume 2, Volume 3, throughout the convention, the times of restitution, Brother Harry mentioned earlier the Jubilees, Brother Freeman mentioned some chronological aspects over the past couple of days as well. And just interesting to see how they tie in. And then we have the age of the patriarchs and the Jewish age and the gospel age and how they correspond to certain passages. So we'll get into that here in a few minutes. And then what was kind of interesting was Mork and Edgar and John Edgar basically took the pyramid and the passages and put the divine plan on top of the pyramid. And the measurements starting from 41:28 when Adam was created to the fall 2 years later, and then the old world brings us up to the end of the first world that was, to the year up here. And just kind of interesting to note that. And then the measurement down to the death of Jacob and the Exodus, the giving of the law. And then we have the Jewish age, the ascending passage. We have time measurements pinpointed to Jesus' birth, B.C. 2, when he was baptized, A.D. 29, and when he was crucified in A.D. 33. And these are all indicated here. We have the well shaft, which represents the ransom sacrifice, or the way of escape from Adamic death. And then we have the measurement of the descending passage and how it points basically down through the 6,000 years to 1874 and 1914. We then have the passage to the Queen's Chamber, and the measurements there show some very interesting things. And then the Gospel Age, the Grand Gallery, and that points to 1874, 1878, 1881, 1914. And then, of course, we get beyond that, and the next date, 2874. And some brethren are questioning. They've moved things forward and saying, well, you know, the rain, restitution, that's still yet to begin. Well, what that does is that throws out this date of 2874, the thousand-year reign. And the Great Pyramid points to that date, the end of the thousand-year reign, 2874. And in Volume 2 and Volume 3, we have all these prophecies and chronological proofs, but here we have something else. We have the Great Pyramid with time measurements that were basically put into place over 4,100 years ago. And that really reaffirms my faith, and I'm sure it reaffirms your faith as well. And so we'll go through some of these dates that are mentioned there. And it's just wonderful to see how the Great Pyramid gives us another confirmation of where we are on the stream of time. We went over this on Friday, how it was built and the structure and that sort of thing, and the only surviving wonder of the seven ancient ones. It's lasted longer than any other structure out there. We looked at the size and that sort of thing. And then the scriptures about the Great Pyramid. Isaiah 19:19-20, Jeremiah 32-20, we've just looked at. And then all the scriptures about cornerstones and headstones. And that basically Jesus is that headstone. And then finally, Psalms 118:22. The headstone of the corner, the stone which the builders refused or rejected, is become the headstone of the corner. And that's just a beautiful scripture to see the part that Jesus plays in God's divine plan. This was a picture of the pyramid before all the casing stones were stolen by the Arabs about 600 years ago for their mosques and their cities and that sort of thing. We talked about the just the structure of it and who built it, when, how, why, and so on. We found out that God was the architect, and the builder had a number of names, Philotas, Shem, son of Noah, and also Melchizedek. They could all be one in the same person. The purpose, the facts, and the fact that the Great Pyramid has a wonderful story to tell, and that is God's divine plan. We went through the mathematical features, this wonderful indication of pi, which wasn't really noticed until hundreds of years later, and then confirmed in the 1850s with Taylor and Smith and Petrie and Newton. And it's a wonderful formula that we have in mathematics. And the orientation and the measurements and the 365.24 cubits, and we get 4 years, we've got a leap year, precisely the number for the days in 1 year. We'll just skip through these. The Earth's precessional cycle, this is a very interesting one, and we don't have time to discuss it today, but it's worth taking a look at. Both in the little Edgar Small book and in the Large Pyramid Passage book as well. How it sits at the border and in the center, also in the center of the Earth's landmass, the astronomy. When the pyramid was built and finished building about 30 years from 2170 to 2140, pointed towards the North Pole Star, or the Dragon Star, or Draconis. And the 90-degree perpendicular angle pointed towards the Pleiades, where we are told in the scriptures that God resides with his heavenly host. Okay, now for the pyramid, just looking at it in a picture, we don't need faith for that. We know it's there, and it's been there a long time. To understand God's plan and the Bible, we need faith. And we have a number of scriptures that tell us what faith is and how we as Christians are to walk by faith and not by sight. And blessed are they who have not seen but believe. And we need faith for our belief in God and Christ. So what the Great Pyramid gives us is the fact that its wonderful structure, size, accuracy, internal arrangement, it reveals a beautiful outline of the plan of God, past, present, future, those three dispensations. So actually looking at the prophetic conditions, we found these out on Friday, but the third one is the one we really want to look at today. And find out some interesting time features about this. So when we look at it, we find that all the time features of prophetic days mentioned by Daniel are accurately marked inside the pyramid by the passage measurements. Now, Daniel saw these things about 1,600 years. Pyramid built, completed around 2140. Daniel was in the time 606, 70 years desolation with Nebuchadnezzar, and he was basically told to shut up the words and seal the book unto the time of the end. So a lot of time had passed when Daniel started to basically record these things, and none would understand. This is 606, 536 B.C., but none would understand until 1799, over 4,000 years from when the pyramid was built. I find that very interesting. And only those people who would understand, they're declared as being wise. The symbolisms, the time measurements of the Great Pyramid corroborate the scriptural divine plan in every particular. The most prophetic prominent teaching of the pyramid is the symbolness of the top stone, clearly referred to as a representation of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is the stone that the builders rejected, but which afterward became the head of the corner and the chief cornerstone. And we looked at a model of that on Friday that the Japanese had built in trying to do a model scale pyramid. So when looking at the measurements and calculations, they are an exact confirmation of the Bible's own chronology. They're arrived at in numerous ways, the details of which can be read in the most definitive book on the subject, Great Pyramid Passages, by John and Mark and Edgar. There's even chapters in there about the fifth and the sixth messengers that we discussed in the symposium, and a chapter each on Wycliffe and on Luther. And then Brother Mark and Edgar and John Edgar wrote a number of articles and letters, and they're prefaced in the foreword of the third volume and in the pyramid chapter about how Brother Russell's conclusions were so accurate and they couldn't find any problem with it. So this book is available, and it's certainly worthwhile taking a look at. The Portland area Bible students put it out, and you can order. Brother Jerry actually said he's got a couple of extra copies around today if you want it. The other one is the DVD, The Great Pyramid, put out by Columbus and by ABSCO, and basically you can order that. You can download it from about five or six Bible student websites on the web as well, and you can download it in chapters, and that's very helpful as well. This other white book has just been reprinted in color, and it's about 37 pages of just a nice summary, and it goes along with the DVD. Okay, so here's the Great Pyramid, and here's a 3D model of the passages. We've got the entrance, the descending passage, subterranean chamber, the well shaft, the ascending passage, the grand gallery, the queen's chamber, the king's chamber, the antechamber, and the relieving chambers. Here's another side cross view of it, and we've got the air passages. We've got the granite, the plug that plugs the ascending passage to the Jewish age, and also the granite leaf here where those that are faithful in the gospel age, that indicates that it's divine. Other thing is the scored line here, the measurement 2140, and that indicates the completion of the Great Pyramid. And they thought it was started around 2170, and it's all due to the where the stars were placed and the descending passage and the 90 degree perpendicular from the scored line to the Pleiades. We can thank Brother Harry for these next couple of animated slides. We have the passages, and we have some measurements, and they also indicate that Jesus was born here and crucified. And then we've got the gospel age, and that points up to the 1981-1914 dates. So let's take a look at it. Here mankind sinned. Adam sinned, and it was straight downhill for the world of mankind for 6,000 plus years. And it ends up in this pit, which signifies death. And that's what's happened to the world of mankind these past few thousand years. Up here we have the king's chamber, and that represents the spirit plane, and especially for the church who make their calling election sure. Then we have the queen's chamber, and this is the plane of human perfection. Basically, the world of mankind will walk up the way of holiness along this horizontal passage Once they recognize what the sacrifice of Christ meant and hopefully receive human perfection. You got to have air for life, and this is very nicely noted through the air passages. Here's the ascending passage, the Jewish age, and they basically would not live up to the law that was given to them. And so it was basically blocked. And the only way for redemption is through Jesus Christ ransom sacrifice. And that comes up the well shaft, the ransom sacrifice, and then his death, and well, his birth, his death, and resurrection. And this shows the ransom sacrifice, and this shows where Jesus actually gave up his life to for all of mankind. As Brother Freeman said, not for many, but that word all means everybody. And that's unfortunately where a lot of churches and beliefs go wrong, in that they don't understand that all mankind will be given the opportunity for life. Here we have Mork and Edgar's chart. So, the striking symbolism of the Great Pyramid and its amazing corroborations of the Bible have prompted the name the Bible in Stone. And we've heard that many times. This chart where the Great Pyramid is superimposed with the chart of the ages, break down Bible history and prophecy, and when imposed over the passage systems, note the amazing correspondences of history with these passage systems. The names for these passages provide clues as to the symbolisms intended by the pyramid's architect. The most important feature of God's plan was carefully written into the blueprint of the Great Pyramid. These ages are not arbitrarily drawn, but precise measurements, and that's the key, of the chambers and passageways coincide inch by inch. A pyramid inch equals 1 year with man's history as detailed by the Bible. So there we have that chart, and we're just going to quickly look at this. The passages, descending passage, which Brother Harry Wildblood's chart and PowerPoint slide represented, the downward course with the yellow arrow going down, the pit, destruction or Gehenna, and only Jesus' sacrifice will save mankind from that. The first descending passage, Israelitis age or law dispensation, during which the nation of Israel tried to gain life, but it was futile. The well shaft, which represents the ransom sacrifice of Jesus, or Hades, and that state of death from which awakening is assured because of the ransom sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The grand gallery, the gospel age, the grace dispensation, which we have a privilege to be called in the body of Christ, and it's offered to the faithful. And that's why with so many of our lessons at convention, we really want to try and make our calling and election sure and do the very best for that spiritual reward. The antechamber, moving from the grand gallery towards the king chamber, it's sort of like the holy of the tabernacle, the school of Christ, the spirit-begotten condition who presented their bodies a living sacrifice. The king's chamber, the most holy, like the tabernacle, the sanctuary, divine spirit, divine nature, divine reign of Christ. The queen's chamber, where the world of mankind walks along, and which Jesus gives man an opportunity for life. And just beautiful pictures here. We also have the horizontal passage leading to the Queen's Chamber. Complete period of world's history from time of Adam, the end of the millennial reign, also the new law covenant, which will be in operation with Israel and the world after the completion of the body of Christ. the granite and the Great Pyramid. Let's just take a quick peek at that. The plug represents the divine law of God, which blocks the way to life, even as the granite plug blocks the way up the first ascending passage. And of course, the Jews could not keep the law. The granite leaf in the antechamber, which the church class basically has to enter in, you have to bow submissively. And we'll see a picture of this in a minute. The plane of spirit nature is represented in the Great Pyramid by the level floor of the king chamber. Plane of human perfection is represented by the level of the floor of the queen's chamber. The plane of human depravity or combination is represented by the level of the pit. So, very beautifully, very quickly, and it's just such beautiful pictures. The three ways of the Bible, the descending passage, the broad way leads to destruction, the grand gallery, the king's chamber, the narrow way that leads to life, the queen's chamber, the highway of holiness that mankind will walk up to obtain human perfection. The three destinations of the Bible. If you take the descending passage and if somebody doesn't respond to restitution and the resurrection opportunity, it will be not only Adamic death, it will be second death. The grand gallery, if we're faithful in our walk, it's wonderful. We receive that reward of heavenly salvation. And the queen's chamber, if world of mankind walks up the highway of holiness faithfully and successfully, they will get earthly salvation in the new heavens and the new earth in Isaiah 65 and Revelation 21. So, when years are substituted for inches, the Great Pyramid becomes a prophetic calendar, date shown, the last pole star, we talked about 2140, pyramids construction, exodus of the Israelites from Egypt in 1453, very markedly marked in the passage. Death of Christ in 33 AD and the start of World War I. And the overthrow, the times of the Gentiles have ended. And a complete overthrow of the way the world that was before 1914. So what we've done, and I'm sorry this didn't come out a little clear, we've got bigger charts and bigger descriptions, and we'll go to that as quickly as possible. But what I wanted to show in this particular chart was where basically the Edgar pyramid chart, where they fit in the divine plan, corresponds to the dates over here. So we have the Old World, creation and fall of Adam, and 4128, 4126, and then we get up to the date of the flood, Noah's Ark, and we're at 2473 at this point. We then come down the passage, and that gets us to the death of Jacob, B.C. 1813, and the Exodus later on. And then we have the Jewish Age, and a number of things happened in that Jewish Age. We had the fall of the Kingdom of Israel. They were taken into captivity, 606, 70 years of desolation. The end of the last Jubilee that was observed by the nation of Israel, 626. Nehemiah's Commission, 454, and so we have a wonderful prophecy there with the 2300 days. The end of the 70 weeks prophecy in Daniel points to AD 36. We've got that right there. The abomination of desolation set up. We've got that marked. Wycliffe, like I say, Edgar's got a whole chapter on Wycliffe. And that fifth angel and messenger and Sardis that we talked about, and also on Luther, the sixth messenger, and the Church of Philadelphia, AD 1521. Also, we have dates indicating French Revolution, 1789, and it went on for a number of years. Papacy was overthrown. Napoleon basically decrowned and dethroned the Pope. We then had the time of the end in Daniel 12:1, and the Miller movement in the 1260, 1290, 1829, and then the 1,335 days got us to 1874. The end of the 2,300 days, 1846, Evangelical Alliance. Christ's Second Presence, AD 1874, and that's pointed up there. And we also have an indication down here. And the end of the Gentile Times, World War I, 1914. That just got squeezed over. Sorry about that. And that's right there. So just a really nice chart put together by the Edgars in showing us how divine plan fits. And there it is in full. And here we have the well, the ransom sacrifice or way of escape from the world, from down here to Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection. And then that will allow them to walk up the highway of holiness in the millennial age. And, of course, the church walking up the grand gallery in the gospel age. The plains, human perfection, spirit birth, and where a lot of the world is today, the plain of human depravity or condemnation. First Advent, Second Advent, death of Jacob, Exodus, flood, and creation. Just a very nice chart. There are the dates in full, and they're all outlined with all the detailed calculations in the Edgar book. Okay, here's another Edgar chart showing some of those same measurements, pointing to those same times, but not having the divine plan superimposed over it. So, we just want to step back here and take a look at this website that Sister Alice Schneider has in Chicago. And she's got an awful lot on this, but we're just going to look at the Great Pyramid passages. And what's really neat, she gives a nice little outline. But what is really nice is here is that same chart. And it's also very nice in, it's a wonderful witness tool. I find this graph, where there again, you've got the divine plan imposed upon the Great Pyramid and then all the scriptures. And so what Sister Alice has done is basically taken that and put it on this website, which has also put pictures of the actual passageways as well. And then from Egyptian times, they had names, or there were names for some of these passageways as well. Present evil world up here, and basically the air passages, and she shows one of those. Was opened in 1872. It's hard to read. I know. Small print. Kind of neat. The Grand Gallery, the Hall of Truth and Light, and 28 feet high, 155 feet long, only 6 feet wide, steep, narrow, and symbolizes the walk of the Christian. First ascending passage, the Hall of Truth in Darkness, which represents the Jewish age. Descending passage, a few pictures of that. And they all come back to her chart and reference her chart, which is very nice. The well and the well shaft, the pit, and King's Chamber, the coffer in the King's Chamber, the fisheye view of the King's Chamber, Queen's Chamber, And it mentions here with granite walls, life-sustaining air passages, the King's Chamber, largest, most beautiful room in the Great Pyramid. And it refers to the fact that mankind will be blessed by church class, the Queen's Chamber, symbolizing the everlasting home for all men on earth. There will be no more death, neither sorrow, crying, nor pain, Revelation 21:4. Horizontal passage, and there we have Laurel Kirkham's brother, Todd, a little younger, about 17 years, and kind of neat how he squeezed in that horizontal passage. This is what's beautiful about this, and you probably can't see it, but 6/7 of its length is cramped and low. The last 1/7 has room for man to walk upright. This symbolizes 6,000 years of night of weeping, followed by a 1,000-year Sabbath rest and refreshing, which God promised his human family. And so that's just a beautiful thought there with the 7,000 years, 6,000, very cramped, low, and then it opens right up. And then the world to come, the third dispensation, and that takes us back. But it's just so nicely indicated on this chart. There's all kinds about the cornerstone, a lot of beautiful pictures that Todd and Sharon Gowerluck put up here as well, and you can go through at your leisure. It's godsplantoday.com, and there's a hyphen in there as well. Okay, so we've looked at the passages, what they mean, some of the dates, and just like to refer you to the foreword of Volume 3, written October 1st, 1916. Great Pyramid of Egypt has not lost any interest to its author. Descending passage, downward course, ascending passage, law dispensation, grand gallery, lofty heights, teachings of Christ and his followers. The step in the upper end still represents a marked change in the affairs of the world, lifting man to a higher plane. Connection between the top of the grand gallery and the spaces above the King's Chamber still represents the spiritual presence of our Lord in the harvest of his age, beginning with 1874. We never attempted to place the Great Pyramid, sometimes called the Bible in stone, on a parallel or equality with the Word of God, as represented by the New Testament scriptures. The latter stand preeminent, always as the authority. We do, however, still believe the structure of this pyramid, so different from that of all the others, was designed by the Lord and intended to be a pyramid witness in the midst and on the border, Isaiah 19:19. It certainly tells a very different story from any other art or relic handed down from its remote times. Its wonderful corroboration of the divine plan is astounding to everybody who grasps it. So, just very nice. The last few days of Brother Russell's life when he wrote the forewords, and just saying that, hey, the Great Pyramid, after he'd written the chapter in Volume 3, was still as relevant or more relevant at that time than when he actually wrote it. So from there, we're going to go to Alan Springer's YouTube channel and just take a look. He's taken this video, which you can buy for $5 or you can download from it, most Bible student websites. But he's taken and divided into 7 sections. We looked at the scientific features and the structure of the pyramid on Friday. We're just going to look at about an 8.5-minute clip of a summary of what we've talked about on Friday and today. So we'll just go to that. And so Brother Alan, he's got the pyramid here, but today is Easter Sunday, so he's got a lot of special resurrection videos and lessons out there. so that anybody interested in the truth can get some beautiful lessons. He's got a whole bunch of videos on Israel as well. And so basically we're just going to start this up.
And to bring back those of mankind from the grave so they could walk the highway. Christ has provided a way of escape. Now, for those of his church, to go up the narrow way to the king's chamber picturing heaven, and in his kingdom, along this horizontal passage, a highway that will lead to holiness of life here upon this earth.
The study of the Great Pyramid, which began as a look into an ancient artifact, becomes an investigation of the most momentous themes that concern the human race: the issues of life, purpose, origins, and destiny. Edmund Jesuit, an award-winning design engineer who relates the Great Pyramid to his interest in science and the Bible, expresses it this way.
Brother Edmund was an elder of West Suburban class and the Chicago class.
I believe the Great Pyramid
could
properly be called the Bible in stone. Now, what is the theme of the Bible? It is the life and the work of Jesus Christ. And that work has two parts. The first part is redemption, dying that man may live. The second part is restoration, giving that life to the world for all to benefit from the redemption. And the pyramid depicts both parts, not only in the passage system, but in other ways as well. Now, in the pyramid, the well shaft pictures the redemptive work of Jesus, providing a way of escape from the pit of death to the chambers of life. The Bible calls Jesus the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Now, notice how strikingly the pyramid points to Jesus as the Lamb. In the well shaft's grotto, there's a natural rock formation projecting from the original bedrock. And this clearly resembles the shape of a lamb's head. Now, this remarkable rock formation was there before the pyramid's foundation was laid. And the Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb of God before the foundation of the world. There we have Jesus in his work of rescue for a dying race. But another feature of the pyramid, its overall shape, illustrates what will happen when the benefits of redemption reach the entire world. The Bible describes a future government of the world. And in this government, the leaders will be unseen, they'll be in heaven, and their influence is going to extend down to this earth. It's going to be a universal dominion. Even victory over death itself being achieved by resurrecting all the men who have ever lived and teaching them God's laws. And the Bible illustrates this government by the shape of a pyramid, with Jesus as the capstone. The prophet Zechariah speaks of the top stone, David of a headstone, and then Jesus speaks of himself as the rejected stone that will become the head or the chief cornerstone. The Apostle Paul describes a government of the world in his letter to the Ephesians, in which the whole creation will find their one head in Christ, both things in heaven and things in earth. If there is one thing that has united the human race down through history, it is the tragedy of suffering and death. And if there is a second thing, it is the universal hope of a better day. This hope was not merely a human imagination. No, it was encouraged by our Creator in various ways as the Bible unfolded. And I believe it was etched in stone when God inspired the builders of the Great Pyramid. Poets, philosophers, and prophets have long expressed the profound desire of the human soul for peace and brotherhood, harmony with God, and an end to death. Now, the Great Pyramid, which to the casual observer symbolized the shape of the ancient past, becomes something else under the Bible's light. It becomes the shape of things to come.
After 4,000 years, the Great Pyramid has lost little of its ancient wonder. A city was built with its casing stones. The city fell. But the pyramid has survived. Earthquakes shook the foundations, but the pyramid survived. Conflicting theories continue to swirl around the Great Pyramid like sandstorms in the desert. However, man has now been given the key that unlocks the pyramid's mystery. This key is the same mathematical language that enables us to measure the universe and unlock its secrets. The size of our world, its land area, its distance from the sun, its astronomical relationships, the timing of its journeys. Not until modern man had learned these facts from the measurements and proportions of our solar system could we read these same facts in the measurements and proportions of the Great Pyramid. Unfortunately, the newfound knowledge of 20th century man has also produced an attitude that scoffs at ancient wisdom. And so for many, the message of the Great Pyramid is hidden behind a door that has been unlocked by knowledge, but remains closed until an awakened interest challenges the theories of the past. To those who open that door, the Great Pyramid quietly reveals its message. Whoever built the Great Pyramid, it continues to display a degree of technology which is in many ways superior to that of our present industrial age, a fact that is a real challenge to the evolutionary theory of the steady progress of man. We stand in awe, humbled before the builders of the past. Material success only underscores our terrible failure to bring an end of suffering, poverty, and distress to billions of our race. In our perplexed and troubled world, the Great Pyramid, man's oldest building, and the Bible, his oldest book, give evidence of a creator who knows our need, whose love and care transcend time and promise to touch the life of every man.
So that was just a nice way to summarize everything from that video, and just in summarizing our discussion today and from Friday. So we see that the Great Pyramid, it's a prophetic blueprint illustrating God's plan for man. The architect revealed the secrets of science and mathematics. We have a wonderful chronological record of biblical history, and especially it confirms and supports volume 2 and volume 3 of our 6 volumes and studies in the scriptures, The Time Is at Hand and Thy Kingdom Come, volumes 2 and 3. And so we have a corroboration of God's promises for the world of mankind that they'll all come up the highway of holiness, and sorrow and sighing, sickness, death will pass away. We have beautiful passages that diagram God's plan of the ages. And he's revealed his message in a form that we can see and understand very easily. And it's very exciting, and it touches our lives to give us another confirmation like this that has sat in the desert for over 4,100 years. And the message is the same as the scriptures, good tidings of great joy to all people. And we're all longing for that time when the world of mankind will come to know our Lord. And just finish with a quote by Mort Gnedger in Pyramid Passages. One thing I'd like to draw attention to is the most important. Time measurements of the Great Pyramid corroborate Bible chronology as presented by Brother Russell in Volume 2 of Studies in the Scriptures. So, brethren, hopefully this whets your appetite, especially in some of the more detailed things. We've sort of rushed through the scientific features on Friday and the pyramid passages and the chronology today, but may the Lord have his blessing.
Thank you, Brother John. Now, to many people, that's just a big pile of rocks. But to Bible students, it's the rock-solid plan of God. And what a blessing to be privileged to understand it. To look into the deep things. Look into the mind of our Creator. The character of the Creator displayed in his wonderful divine plan. These are not light things, brethren. They're the treasures of the snow. The privilege of the eagles. What a privilege. Now we're going to close this session and our convention first with the singing of the last two verses of hymn 63, and then we'll follow with the singing of hymn number 64. Hymn number 63, verse 4. Thank you, Brother John.
Thank you.
We'll close in prayer and then we'll sing 64. Brother John.
Our Father in heaven, we bow before thee now to thank thee, dear Father, for these 3 days of convention. We thank thee for the wonderful spiritual lessons in discourse with the speakers from far away. We pray that we might go from this convention with our hearts refreshed and renewed determination to make our calling and election sure. We're thankful, dear Father, for these pictures that we have in the Scriptures, and especially for this stone witness, which so clearly reveals thy wonderful plan that thou hast for both the church and for the world of mankind. Brother, we pray that when things are difficult, that we can look at these things and they will give us faith and renewed courage to carry along in our Master's footsteps. We are thankful for the efforts of all the brethren here to provide this spiritual feast, both in fellowship and in discourse. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. And before we sing again, I want to, on behalf of the North Seattle Bible students, thank all of our speakers, for their fine services and the energy put in to the symposium in particular. I thought it was special, very special to me. And also to all who have played the pianos, given our prayers, given the vessel services, taken care of the food. I mean, we could go on and on. We're thankful for all and for each one who's taken the time out of their busy lives to attend this convention and make it a blessing to all. Now we'll close with hymn number 64. May God bless you as you go to your various ways.
God be with you till we meet. Guide, uphold you with the sheep securely. Fold you, God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at
you all. Thank you.